You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
It's been 4 years since a new tax regime was introduced. It's an alternative to the old tax scheme that has tax slabs with lower tax rates, but also takes away a host of tax saving options like deduction on insurance premiums, housing loan, ALSS funds, and so on and so forth. In last year's budget, the finance minister made the new regime more attractive, which has made the decision of picking between the two regimes a little tough for taxpayers. What's also been done is that the new regime is made the default tax regime for all taxpayers unless you change it each financial year before 30th April. Today's episode is about helping you make the decision between the two tax schemes. Hi, I'm Shipra from Mint's personal finance team and welcome back to Why Not Mint Money. I have invited Nitesh Buddhadev, who is a chartered accountant and founder of Nimit Consultancy, as the guest speaker.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hi Nitesh, welcome to Why Not Mint Money.
Thank you, Shipra.
So Nitesh, this year, are you seeing any eagerness in your clients to move to the new regime?
Right, Shipra. If I give a bit of context between this new regime and old regime, I think we all are familiar by now.
Yeah.
But as you said, it started with Budget 2020 that government proposed something like a new regime and old regime. We first heard about this at that point of time. And in initial years, there were hardly few takers when it comes to new regime.
Yeah.
So what government did, as we are aware, in Budget 23, they made it more attractive.
Yeah.
And at that time, government expected and government is expecting that at least 2/3 of all taxpayer will opt for new regime. Honestly, I don't think that happening, at least now, at least as far as my knowledge is concerned and my clients are concerned.
Right.
But yeah, there is few more takers. At least if we talk about our client also, there are, if we compare with the previous years, this year we are expecting, at least in the financial year 23-24,
yeah,
when we are filing a return, we're expecting at least 30% to 35% would be opting for new regime. So that's what I can see, that because of that changes has happened in Budget 23 and government took effort to make it more attractive.
Yeah.
That is yielding the but not the 2/3 at least to that extent. But yeah, of course, there is attraction.
Right. So the two key changes that were introduced in 2023 budget, I would like to tell our listeners, is that one was that the standard deduction of 50,000 was also introduced, and second, incomes up to 7 lakh were exempt for tax, which basically means that if you have income till 7 lakh, you don't fall in any tax bracket, you don't pay taxes at all. So now, moving on to which regime to choose from, what method would you say taxpayers should follow to decide which regime works better for them?
Yeah, so see, it's honestly, it's very simple, but of course, it's depend upon the person to person and their income level. But if we are, whenever we're talking about the method, see, what we need to calculate is that, Shipra, what is my tax as per the old regime and what is as per the new regime? Like you rightly said, the main two benefits is that the standard deduction of 50,000 is now allowed. Of course, for the salaried, the standard deduction of 50,000, which is a significant portion in the deduction part, is also allowed for the new regime. And the slab rate has changed. Okay, slab rate was different in the new regime, and that has been so up to 3 lakh, no tax at all. 3 to 6, 5%, 6 to 9, 10%, 9 to 12, 12 to 15, and above 15. This is the new slab rate. So that's the two change. And because of that, as you mentioned, people are even considering this. And when we are thinking that which is better one, we will calculate tax as per the old and as per the new. The main thing which we want to consider in the new regime is that the slab rate is different. So that's why we need to calculate that as per that. And only deduction we will consider is a standard deduction. And also, if there is any NPS, which is given by the employer NPS deduction, that is also allowed under the new regime. So only these two things we will consider, and we'll calculate the tax payable under the new regime. Yeah. And in old regime, as we are aware, we'll calculate all the deductions possible and what SSC can avail, we'll calculate and we'll get it.
Right.
This is how one should be looking at, and one needs to analyze that, what are the deduction and exemptions they are having, and calculate taxes as per both and opt for that. That's the method one should be looking for when one need to analyze which is better for them.
Right. So some people might have this mental argument that, I want to avail, say ATC is a good example. I want to avail the ATC 1.5 limit by, you know, maybe buying an insurance policy or by investing in ELSS. But do I really want to put my money into those investments just because it's helping me save tax? Do you think that with the option of going for a new regime, you know, where you're not compelled to make any tax saving investments, taxpayers might be inclined towards a new regime so that, you know, they can just invest as per other factors and not just keeping tax saving in mind?
Definitely, Shibra. That's the very big point that people should not, at least we recommend, and I think we all believe that as a personal finance people, that we should not be asking anyone or even suggesting or even thinking that we should be investing for the tax saving. Tax saving should be always be a byproduct. And that's what I think government's incentivizes by making new regime more attractive, that you don't save for the sake of saving taxes. You can invest and save as per your wish, irrespective of that will give you a tax break or not. So that's one way of promoting the new regime. And I would suggest that we should not be looking at that this will give me a tax break or this will not give me a tax break. This should be as per your financial plan. But you rightly said, Shipra, but at the same time, as we are discussing this, I can think about the con also of this. We being in India, we don't have any kind of retirement savings except the EPF. And for most of us, this would not be sufficient. So there are people who will have a behavioral biases. When it comes to behavioral biases, you might have a more in-hand income. If you don't save something for your financial freedom or retirement, you would not have the enough corpus. So that one needs to look into. But yeah, of course, one don't need to get into now that the kind of ATC that they need to save or something like that. But one needs to have enough investments linked to their retirement, even if they don't compel to save. One needs to look into this aspect, I guess.
That's right. Absolutely agree with you that a lot of Indians actually save because there is some incentive to save, you know, like in this case.
I understand that that's not the right thing.
Yeah.
But at least people were saving and people are saving because of that. And at least they stay invested in the particular thing for a long period of time just because that's not breakable. It might be a PPF. It might be some policies and all that thing, but at the same time, it should not be the incentive. Then they need to have that behavioral things in mind.
That's right. In fact, one of the major critiques of the new regime is that it takes away that incentive to save and to invest. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, let me ask you a very simple question. For somebody who's making this decision between the two regimes, under which conditions does the new regime make perfect sense? Like, you don't have to think at all if you qualify these conditions, and you should just straight away go for the new regime.
Right. The simple thing to check is that if your income from salary is 7.5 lakh, then straight away you don't need to think anything, because 50,000 is the standard deduction and now your income is 7 lakh. And as we discussed, till 7 lakh, there is no tax in the new regime. Okay. Of course, this is after considering the rebate we get when we say that till 7 lakh, no tax. So if your income is 7.5 lakh, 50,000 is the standard deduction, and now your income is 7 lakh. So it's no brainer. You opt for a new regime. You don't need to go for any paperwork, any hassle. Don't think about any deductions, and you are sorted with the new regime. So this is as simple as that. To add to this, Shipra, but there are people who might have 10 lakh, 15 lakh and all different kind of permutation and combination with the deduction and all that thing. There is one simple way to even look at that which regime you should be choosing. And we came out with an interesting calculation. We call it a break-even analysis. Okay. So now, let's say, right, if your income, for example, is 7.5 lakh, which we were discussing. And now you know that 50,000 is the standard deduction and 7 lakh is your net income after that 50,000 standard deduction and there is no tax. Yeah. Now, wise-wise, if I compare, for example, if I have a, let's say, income of 11 lakh rupees, okay? I'm giving you another example because this will appeal to a few more listeners that if your income is higher and how you will be taking that call, or if your income is, of course, more than 7.5 lakh, is there any kind of a shortcut where you can come to know that which regime is beneficial for you, at least prima facie? One needs to calculate, of course, but what should be the prima facie one should be opting for? Let's understand by this example, let's say your income is 11 lakh rupees. Now, if your total deductions and exemptions, okay, total deductions and exemption, when I say exemption is your HRA, your LTA, your food coupons and all that things allowed as part of your FlexiPay. And when I say deductions, it's your ATC, ATD, your maybe you have some housing loan interest and all that thing. Then the total, all this totaling to around, let's say, 3.25 lakh rupees. If your income is 11 lakh and your deduction is an exemption totaling 3.25 lakh rupees, it's a break-even. As a break-even, if you count your tax as per the new or old, it will be exactly same.
Right.
So, now, if you want to opt for an old regime, okay, if your deduction is more than 3.25 lakh rupees, then you opt for an old regime because the tax payable would be less. So, if now I'm giving you maybe the one more example and the last example, if your income is more than 15 lakh rupees, okay, your total deduction is, let's say, 4.25 lakh rupees, it's a break even. So as per old and new, tax would be same. So if your deductions is more than 4.25, let's say it's 4.25 lakh to 4.26 lakh also, still new regime doesn't make sense. Old regime will save taxes. So this is kind of a break-even we did for the different income level to give you, just in a second you can come to know which is better for you. So the simple answer is that your total deductions and exemption matters to come out with this kind of a calculation, and one can come to know that which is beneficial.
Right. And if you look at it, you know, when we're talking about deductions totaling to 4.5 lakh, you can't really achieve that unless you have either a home loan or an education loan, or you're claiming HRA, you know, some big ticket exemption or deduction has to be there. So solely on ATC and standard, in fact, standard deduction applies to both, so that doesn't even count. Solely on the 25,000 health insurance premium and ATC, I don't think the old regime is attractive enough anymore, unless you have a home loan or, you know, HRA to claim. Is that right?
Perfect. True. Because even in 4.25, like if I'm giving you that example, which we were just talking, let's say I've considered the ATC of 1.5 lakh rupees, 50,000 of standard deduction, 25,000 rupees of health insurance. And if I include in this 2 lakh rupees of interest deduction, then I come to 4.25 lakh rupees. So you are perfectly bang on. If there is a good amount of rent you are paying and you are getting HRA component, then the HRA, the higher amount of HRA or the housing loan, this is the two big and common thing I can think of, which will help you to save tax under the old regime. Otherwise, for many of the people, new regime would make sense, at least when it comes to sell right.
That's right. Totally agree. So now, there are some myths about the new regime. Like, for instance, you know, the other day I was speaking to a friend, and that friend thought that the new regime does not even let you, say, save taxes on your capital gains, you know, if you reinvest those under Section 54 and 54F. So there are some myths around the new regime, you know, like these. I think people don't understand that the exemptions and deductions that the new regime takes away are directly related to your, you know, your income, and not about capital gains. So I want to dispel some of those myths in this episode. So let me ask you, does the new regime allow setting off and carrying forward of capital gains and business loss?
Yes, it is very much. And you rightly said that's the myth that people get confused with that. Because Shipra, around 70 plus deductions and exemptions are taken away. And mostly this deduction and exemption, if I talk about the 80C section to 80U section, which includes your donations, which includes your loan interest on the education loan interest, your housing loan, and all these kind of deductions are taken away, which is a section 80C to section 80U and few other stuffs. But it has nothing to do with your capital gain set off, your capital gain exemption of section 54F. If you have a business, you might have an expenditure and deduction related to your businesses. These all are stayed intact. There is no change in that. And it does not matter you are opting for a new regime, old regime, or old regime. It is not going to affect you.
Right. So coming to the last question, salaried individuals have to decide between the two regimes before 30th April and inform their employers. In fact, some employers have set the deadline more sooner, especially in the cases where maybe the salaries are processed earlier or, you know, whatever the case may be. So would you say that it's safe for salaried individuals to opt for the old regime now and that they can decide at the end of the year before filing the taxes, which regime actually makes better sense for them? Because you may not be able to anticipate what kind of deductions or exemptions might arise in the financial year that you might end up availing. Like maybe right now you're not paying rent, but towards the middle of the year you might shift to a house, on rent, and then you might want to claim HRA. So do you think that that's a good strategy for salaried individuals?
Very important question, Shipra, and what you said is again bang on, because what we are advising and suggesting our client, okay, if we can assess very clearly that what is your salary structure and what are the exemptions you are having, you count that, and what are the deductions you are going to avail, you count that. If you are very much clear that, okay, your deduction is not of a particular amount which will give you a tax break to get into the old regime, then you opt for a new regime, that's fine, okay. But otherwise, if you are confused or if you don't know, like you mentioned that you are moving to some different cities, or right now you are staying with a parent and you might move out and you might have a HRA, or you might have a higher amount of rent, or you might, let's say, for example, are planning to take a house and you might have an interest outgo also after 3 months or 6 months. So at the start of a year, you might not be knowing that what would be the exact amount of deduction you will have. It's always better to opt for an old regime. The reason being, once you opt for a new regime, which anyway by default is new regime now, so you have to ask your employer to go for the old regime. If you want to, you have to select that option and tell them. The reason is that if you are in the starting of the year, if I'm opting for old regime, though some might argue that I can always change the regime while filing the return, but if I am opting for a new regime at the start, okay, then my employer would not give me some of the component like HRA. They will not give me the flexi pay and all those benefits as part of my salary structure.
That's
now,
right.
If I realize after the end of the financial year while filing return that old is beneficial for me, I can't do anything. Why? Because I can still claim the ATC, ATD, which I have invested for and saved for, but I will not be able to claim my HRA, the flexi pay and all that, because it's not part of my Form 16 and it's not part of my salary package,
right?
Or the Form 16. So it's always better, like you said, go for the old regime when you are confused. And if you think that you have not maximized all the deductions and new regime makes sense, while filing a return, you can simply, you being salaried, you can simply opt for a new regime and pay the tax accordingly. And because your TDS has been deducted higher because new regime is better and you opted for old while start of the financial year, you will get the refund of TDS.
That's right. All right, so that brings us to the end of the episode. I'm sure that this episode will make it very easy for our listeners to decide between the two regime and decide in time. And like you said, that if you're not if you're not sure right now what works for you, just go for the old regime for the time being, and you can take the decision later on at the end of the financial year. So thanks a lot, Nitesh, for joining us today. This has been very insightful and helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Shipra.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. If you would like to know more about this topic or make a suggestion of a personal finance topic that you would like us to cover, I can be reached at Twitter under the username of Shipra Singh Sorath and on LinkedIn at Shipra Singh. Thank you for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.